Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I've had a long career in multiple industries. If you list my sins, I sound like the worst person on earth. But if you put those against the things I've done right, it makes much more sense.
The value of beauty and inspiration is very much underrated, no question. But I want to be, I'm not trying to be anyone's savior. That is not the, I'm just trying to think about the future and not be sad.
For me, it's simply this is something that is important to get done, and we should just keep doing it or die trying. And I don't need a source of strength.
So quitting is not even like...
It's not in my nature. And I don't care about optimism or pessimism. Fuck that, we're going to get it done.
Tesla was under the most relentless short seller attack in the history of the stock market. Tesla was the most shorted stock in the history of stock markets. So, you know, this was affecting our ability to hire people. It was affecting our ability to sell cars. Yeah, it was terrible. They wanted Tesla to die so bad they could taste it.
Well, most of them have paid the price.
Yes. Where are they now?
Just work like hell. I mean, you just have to put in, you know, 80 to 100 hour weeks every week. All those things improve the odds of success.
So my people tell me, like, well, what can you do to encourage entrepreneurs to start companies? I'm like, if you need encouragement, don't start a company. We basically messed up almost every aspect of the Model 3 production line, from cells to packs to motors, body line, the paint shop, final assembly, everything. Everything was messed up. I lived in the Fremont and Nevada factories for 3 years, fixing that production line, running around like a maniac through every part of that factory, living with the team. Yeah. I slept on the floor so that the team who was going through a hard time could see me on the floor. That they knew that I was not in some ivory tower. Whatever pain they experienced, I had it more. I mean, there wasn't any other way to make it work. The 3 years of hell, 2017, 18, and 19, were 3 years, the longest period of excruciating pain in my life. There wasn't any other way. And we barely made it, and we were on the ragged edge of bankruptcy the entire time.
Do you feel that this challenge of figuring out the new way of manufacturing, you actually have an edge now, that it's different, that you've figured out how to do this?
At this point, I think I know more about manufacturing than anyone currently alive on Earth. Yeah. I can tell you how every damn part in that car is made.
I'm not afraid of dying. I think it will come as a relief. So,
although you may not be able to see the vision of SpaceX come true in your life.
Well, I'd like to live long enough to see that.
Being at a net worth of $230 billion, roughly, being perceived as the richest person. Do you know John Law?
I don't know.
John Law used to be the richest person on Earth 300 years ago.
Okay.
He was a poker player, a gambler. He was the biggest art collector on Earth, so a lot of superlatives.
Wow.
In the end, he went bankrupt.
What? That's a pretty far to fall.
Did you ever thought about that option, that something could go wrong and that you could one day lose everything?
I mean, there's been many times where I expected to lose everything. Not, you know, I mean, who starts a car company and a rocket company expecting them to succeed? Certainly not me. I thought they both had less than a 10% chance of success. Like, if I go bankrupt, fine, whatever. I don't care.
so many people from, so many young people actually, from across the globe. If you have an advice to them, young people globally who wanna be like Elon Musk, what's your advice to them?
I think that probably they shouldn't wanna be.
You?
I think it sounds better than it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not as much fun being me as you'd think. There's definitely, it could be worse for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's really hard starting a company. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to basically be prepared to work constantly, you know, from when you wake up to when you go to sleep. You have to be willing to deal with a lot of difficult problems and thorny problems. You have to be willing to deal with an enormous amount of stress. And you just got to push yourself super, super hard.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I wouldn't recommend it for most people.
No.
Try to be useful. You know, do things that are useful to your fellow human beings, to the world. It's very hard to be useful. Very hard. You know, are you contributing more than you consume? You know, like try to have a positive net contribution to society. I think that's the thing to aim for. You know, not to try to be sort of a leader for the sake of being a leader or whatever. A lot of times the people you want as leaders are the people who don't want to be leaders. So if you can live a useful life, that is a good life, a life worth having lived. I would encourage people to use the mental tools of physics and apply them broadly in life.
SpaceX, Tesla, Neuralink, and Boring Company are philanthropy. If you say philanthropy is love of humanity, they are philanthropy. Tesla is accelerating sustainable energy. This is a love of philanthropy.
Right.
SpaceX is trying to ensure the long-term survival of humanity with multi-planet species. This is love of humanity. You know, Neuralink is to help solve brain injuries and existential risk with AI, love of humanity. Boring Company is trying to solve traffic, which is hell for most people, and that also is love of humanity.
I'd encourage people to read a lot of books. Just read, basically try to ingest as much information as you can, and try to also just develop a good general knowledge. So you at least have like a rough lay of the land of the knowledge landscape. Like try to learn a little bit about a lot of things. Because you might not know what you're really interested in. How would you know what you're really interested in if you at least aren't like doing a peripheral exploration of broadly of the knowledge landscape? And you know, talk to people from different walks of life and different industries and professions and skills and occupations. Like just try, you know, learn as much as possible. Man's search for meaning.
Isn't the whole thing a search for meaning?
Yeah, what's the meaning of life and all, you know. But just generally, like I said, I would encourage people to read broadly in many different subject areas and then try to find something where there's an overlap of your talents and what you're interested in. So people may be good at something, or they may have skill at a particular thing, but they don't like doing it. So you want to try to find a thing where that's a good combination of the things that you're inherently good at, but you also like doing.
When you had that third failure in a row, did you think, I need to pack this in?
Never.
Why not?
I don't ever give up. I mean, I'd have to be dead or completely incapacitated.
Essentially, like the longer you do anything, the more mistakes that you will make cumulatively, which if you sum up those mistakes, will sound like I'm the worst predictor ever. But for example, for
Tesla vehicle growth, I said I think we'd do 50%, and we've done 80%.
Yes.
But they don't mention that one. I'm not sure what my exact track record is on predictions. They're more optimistic than pessimistic, but they're not all optimistic. Some of them are exceeded, probably more are later, but they do come true. It's very rare that they do not come true.
I mean, I don't aim to disrupt for the sake of disrupting, you know. It's more like there's thinking about what set of actions are most likely to lead to a better future. And so, you know, one of the things, obviously, in order for humanity to have a compelling future for civilization is that we must have a clear path to a sustainable energy future. That's one of the things that I think everyone, I think, would agree with. I'm not someone who would tend to sort of demonize oil and gas, to be clear. This is necessary right now, or civilization could not function. So I do think we actually need, and actually at this time, I think we actually need more oil and gas, not less. But simultaneously moving as fast as we can to a sustainable energy economy. I was living in the factory in Fremont and the one in Nevada for 3 years straight. That was my primary residence. Not kidding, literally.
Did you keep the couch?
I actually slept in a couch at one point in a tent on the roof. And then, but for a while there, I was just sleeping under my desk, which is out in the open in the factory, and for an important reason. And it was damn uncomfortable sleeping on that floor. And always, when I woke up, I'd smell like metal dust. Yeah, but actually, I stopped using the couch in because there's a little conference room and a couch there. I stopped using the couch, and I just slept on the floor under my desk, so during shift change, the entire team could see me. And this is important because, like, you know, the team, if they think the sort of their leader is off somewhere having a good time, you know, drinking Mai Tais on a tropical island, the thing is that since the team could see me sleeping on the floor during shift change with nothing, they knew I was there. And that made a huge difference. And then they gave it their all.
What kind of characteristics does an entrepreneur need or have to be someone like you?
Well, I think certainly you need to be very driven and have a high pain threshold.
Elon, you are reported by Forbes and everyone else as now, you know, the world's richest person.
That's not a sovereign. You know, I think it's fair to say that if somebody is like the king or de facto king of a country, they're wealthier than I am.
So, but it's just harder to measure. But what people do, so $300 billion, I mean, your net worth on any given day is rising or falling by yeah. several billion dollars. How insane
it's
is
bonkers,
that?
Yeah.
I mean, does that, how do you handle that psychologically? There aren't many people in the world who have to even think about that.
I actually don't think about that too much, but the thing that is actually more difficult and that does make sleeping difficult is that you know, every good hour or even minute of thinking about Tesla and SpaceX has such a big effect on the company that I really try to work as much as possible, you know, to the edge of sanity, basically, because Tesla's getting to the point where probably will get to the point later this year where every high quality minute of thinking is $1 million to impact on Tesla.
One of the biggest mistakes people generally make, and I'm guilty of it too, is wishful thinking. You know, like you want something to be true even if it isn't true. And so you ignore the things that, you ignore the real truth because of what you want to be true. This is a very difficult trap to avoid. And like I said, it's certainly one that I find myself in having problems with. But if you just take that approach of you're always to some degree wrong, and your goal is to be less wrong. So a challenge for entrepreneurs is to say, well, what's the difference between really believing in your ideals and sticking to them versus pursuing some unrealistic dream that right. doesn't actually have merit? And that is a really difficult thing to tell. Can you tell the difference between those two things?
Right.
You know? So you need to be sort of very rigorous in your self-analysis. You guys are the magicians of the 21st century. You know, don't let anything hold you back. Imagination is the limit. Go out there and create some magic.
What Elon has to say about how he takes risks.
Anyway, I literally just try to use a scientific method, frankly, and consider the what is the importance of the outcome, and what is one risking in order to achieve that outcome. And but like I said, if the outcome is important enough, even if the probability of success is low, one must, I think, still do it. In my view. Some things are very important, and in order to have a good future, and if we don't do them, well, then we're in big trouble. And so, then how much of a risk really is it? Because if we don't take those actions, we won't have a good future. And I think the riskiest thing would be no action. Put a lot of stock, and certainly have a lot of respect for someone who puts in an honest day's work to do useful things. And just generally to have like not a zero sum mindset, have more of a grow the pie mindset. Like if you sort of say like when we see people like perhaps including some very smart people, kind of taking an attitude of like doing things that seem like morally questionable, it's often because they have at a base sort of axiomatic level a zero-sum mindset, and they, without realizing it, they don't realize they have a zero-sum mindset, or at least they don't realize it consciously. And so, if you have a zero-sum mindset, then the only way to get ahead is by taking things from others. If the pie is fixed, then the only way to have more pie is to take someone else's pie. But this is false. Like obviously, the pie has grown dramatically over time, the economic pie. In reality, you can have the overuse this analogy. You can have there's a lot of pie.
Yeah,
pie is not fixed.
Yes.
So you really want to make sure you're not operating without realizing it from a zero sum mindset, where the only way to get ahead is to take things from others. Then that's going to result in you trying to take things from others, which is not good. It's much better to work on adding to the economic pie. So when I interview somebody, my interview question is always the same. I said, tell me the story of your life and the decisions that you made along the way and why you made them. And also tell me about some of the most difficult problems you worked on and how you solved them. And that question, I think, is very important, because the people that really solved the problem, they know exactly how they solved it. They know the little details. And the people that pretended to solve the problem, they can maybe go one level and then they get stuck.
Are you happy at the moment?
I think there's degrees of love. But certainly for one to be fully happy, I think you have to be happy in work and happy in love. I suppose I'm medium happy. There are degrees of happiness.
Can love for projects, for work, compensate love among people?
I think love of work, in my experience, could at best make one halfway happy.
What was your biggest challenge in life?
One of the biggest challenges, I think, is making sure you have a corrective feedback loop, and then maintaining that corrective feedback loop over time, even when people want to tell you exactly what you want to hear.
Okay.
That's very difficult.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.